You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And believe you me, not one Jew is of the tribes of Israel. Never has been, never will be, never can be. This week, ladies and gentlemen, is the 57th show. And there is a significant reason for the number 57, which is kind of interesting to me. 5 and 7, of course, is 12. Now, the title of this message is The Truth About Judah. You know that 12 represents Israel in the Bible. This is a day of joy for me. Anytime Germany gets justice, it's a day of joy. It's a day that makes my heart glad. Now, I must give credit to Jan Lamprecht. He had just put this message out, and he received this translated document from the SS called The Laws of the SS. And wait till you hear what's inside of this. You know, in my shows in the past, I have told you that Germany had done all the right things. When they were burning books, the Jews made you believe that they were burning books that were good books for you to be learning from so that they could propagandize the people with propaganda material. They also told you that they disarmed the German people, which in this document you'll see is a lie. They also didn't tell you things that I have spoken about before, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is because this will be proven once and for all. I told you before that Germany was taking care of their mothers. They were teaching their women how to become good wives, how to become good mothers, how to take care of their children, and how to bring them up properly. Oh, these are good fruits, my dear people. These are good fruits that we should have in all of our Israelite nations. The reason we do not have these fruits is because we have rotten fruit destroying all the good fruits. Oh, yes, I understand you're upset that we always blame the Jews for everything. But if the Jews weren't here, we had shown these good fruits in times past before the Jew destroyed everything. So in one way, I can say, okay, I understand what you're trying to say. We can't blame the Jews for everything. We also have a part in this. Yes, that's true. But if the Jews were never among us, I really doubt that we'd be going through these things and even speaking about these kind of things, because these were things we were doing in our nations before we were totally tainted. You see, that's wisdom. We're taking a break from the Proverbs here because that's how important this particular message is. Wisdom is showing that you care about the future of your people You know, I come across too many elderly people these days, and when I try to tell them the truth about things, they say, well, I don't care. I'm not going to be here anyway. Well, what about your children? What about your children's children? And if you don't have any children, well, what about other people's children? You don't care about what happens to them in the future? Just as long as you're out of it? Because you're becoming too old to worry about things like that? That is an improper response, and it's something that you're going to be sorry that you ever said. The Germans proved that they cared about the future of Germany. The future meaning the people. The future meaning the way they treat people. The future meaning the way the government was run. The future meaning it was teamwork. Germany was teamwork. That's why if it wasn't for our Chavez Goy race traitor military and the Jews, if we had not intervened and went into Europe, the Germans would have won that outright with no problem whatsoever. Oh, yes, a problem in Russia. But you see, that wouldn't have been a problem had we not intervened, you see. So, the Germans have been proved to be the best outfit ever, as far as I'm concerned, the most righteous army, navy, air force in the history of the world, because they are the tribe of Judah. Now I understand, because I've come across this document and because I understand what Germany was trying to do, now I know why Jews wrote books like Germany Must Perish. Now I know why they went in and killed all, as many people as they could after the war and during the war, by the way. You're going to have your answer today. You're going to have a new understanding of what a society should be like. You're going to have a new understanding about what racial solidity is when people stick together and become a team. Why were they so successful in fighting all these fronts and doing all the things they've done? Because they were a team and they gave their all. This is something that we should take a lesson from. This is something that we should understand, not only in our businesses, but in our families, in what should happen in our governments. We should not be giving any money to blacks or anybody else. We should be blessing ourselves first. We should truck those people back where they belong, truck the Jews out of here, and all people that do not belong in our country. And I guarantee within a short span of time, if we began to act like a team and operate like the laws of the SS, which are very biblical and very blessed by Yahweh, you are going to be in for a shock here when you hear this. Think about what I said. Germany was teaching their mothers how to be good mothers, how to take care of their children, how to discipline their children, how to educate their children, how to care and love their children, therefore bringing forth a next healthy, not only healthy in body, but healthy in mind and healthy in spirit generation. Now, the Jews do the exact opposite. They are destroying every future generation. Deliberately. They are keeping us in perpetual war to kill off the flower of every generation that we have come out. They knew that Germany, I'm going to tell you something right now. If Germany had been able to do what they were doing here in this document for 10 years, there would have been so many healthy Germans, so many great people from the tribe of Judah, that it would put back the Jews centuries in the killing of us off. Germany would have shown us the example on how to treat your next generation, how to make it healthy. You see, it is all about the posterity of our people. If we were to make our children better than we were, and they were to do the same and so on and so on, what do you think would happen with our race? If we cared for the next generation, if we ensured that the next generation was going to be a healthy generation, a generation that would not go into debt. Wait till you hear this document. A generation of team players. You know, when the white race get together, we are a powerful force. Just as when all the tribes get together, we will be a powerful force. And this is exactly why the Jews have done everything they can to prevent it. Woe unto the enemy when we get it together. There is no equal to us on the earth. Our Father Yahweh, we are his literal offspring. Therefore, there should be no equal to us on the earth. We're not living up to our potential. Germany understood and was living up to their potential. This is why the Jews decided that they had to go for an all-out, we've got to cut this off. We can't allow this to happen. They're still to this day trying to destroy the tribe of Judah everywhere it is. In England, UK, Ireland, South Africa, Germany still today, and in the United States, where tons of us are the tribe of Judah. The Father had protected us by putting us in all these different places. That was a mercy that I didn't understand previously. However, they've done a lot of damage, but we still continue to grow, and we still move forward. And when we understand who the enemy is and who we are, the game will be over at that point. The Jew is practically ready to run now, and is running out of some countries. There are Jews that are so egotistical at this point, they think they've got the thing all won. But they're sincerely and severely wrong. The matter's not over yet. As a matter of fact, it's growing. And I mean growing exponentially on a daily basis. There are people in our race that suspected and that suspect that we are the true Israel of the Bible. They may not say it to you. They may not want to admit it in public. But they've suspected this for a long time, believe it or not. You see, I heard somebody say today, we've got to stop listening to these shows. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I understand we have to do. But some of the best part of doing, we have to understand that the people of the world are not hearing the truth on a daily basis. Therefore, we are responsible for them hearing the truth, many of them for the first times in their lives. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Oh, no, no, no. These shows are extremely important. They're extremely important because most people in this world don't even hear any truth at all. Because, number one, they're not allowed to hear the truth in many arenas of life, as you well know. They're not allowed to speak the truth in the Jewish companies. As I discussed before, we can't discuss these things. Yet, the Jews, all they ever do is discuss politics and business. And that proves, that's what Jan Lamprecht was saying. You see, and he proved me right. That Judaism is not a religion. These people don't get together and speak about religion, about the Torah or any of that stuff. They get together and they talk about politics and business. And that's exactly what Jan Lamprecht said, and he's right. And that's because Judaism is not a religion. It's a political movement. It's also a mafia business in the guise of a religion, so that it can take advantage. I'm repeating myself, but this is important to understand. Why is it in the guise of a religion? Because you can take advantage of the world because you're in the guise of a religion. Because then you can say, well, you can't do this because that's against my religion. You can't check us out with the TSA because those are rabbis and that's our religion. Do you understand? So let's see how the next generation should be treated. Let's look at the laws of the SS. I am so overjoyed about this. Jan Lamprecht said is there was a man who had this document translated. And praise be to Yahweh that it has been translated. I think you're going to be in for shock. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear how evil these German people are? Or are you ready to find out how righteous these German people are and how much of a fool we all have been by believing these filthy, rotten, evil Jews? Duties of the SS man regarding marriage and engagement, 31st December 1931. The SS is a selected formation of German Nordic men. According to the National Socialist worldview and understanding that the future of our nation lies in the selection and preservation of the good and healthy blood. How does that sound to you? Isn't that beautiful? You get what that means? The preservation of the good and healthy blood? The bloodline of Nordic men? I am introducing, from 1st January 1932 on, for all not married SS members, the marriage approval. The goal we are striving for is genetically valuable, healthy family of a Nordic German type. The marriage approval will be given or withdrawn only on the grounds of race and genetic health. Every SS man who wants to marry has to receive the approval of the Reichsführer, SS. You see, they felt they had to take it upon themselves to do. Remember that we used to have parents that would choose our marriages. So what they were doing is restoring this. But they were making sure that it was going to be pure-blooded. That was the key to it. And that is a righteous goal. And a goal approved by Yahweh, as you well know. SS members who will marry despite of disapproval of the marriage will have to leave of their own record or face expulsion from the SS. The professional review of the marriage applications is done by the racial department of the SS. The racial department of the SS keeps a family book of the SS containing a register of the families. This is all the way it was done in Israel. You had, you know, anybody will tell you that you had to have a record of who you were. This is very biblical. The racial department of the SS keeps a family book of the SS containing a register of the families of the SS members, which are entered either after marriage approval or special application for entry in the book. The Reichsführer, SS, the leader and officers of the racial department are sworn to confidentiality. Sworn to it. The SS knows that with this order, it has made an important step. Mockery, contempt, and misunderstanding will not touch us. The future belongs to us. Understand what that statement means. You see, too many times we bow down and shrink back because somebody tries to mock us or does not understand what we're doing as a people. So understand what he's saying here. The SS knows that with this order, it has made an important step. And yes, that's so. Mockery, contempt, and misunderstanding will not touch us. What he means is, we're not even going to entertain that stuff. The future belongs to us, is what it says. In other words, we're going to take control of our future, of the future of Germany, of the future of our race. We don't care if somebody tries to mock us for doing that. We don't care if somebody doesn't understand what we're doing. We're not even going to entertain any of that because we know, we're confident, we know what our future is going to be. The SS Law of Honor, 9th November 1935. Every SS man has the right and the duty to defend his honor with a weapon. Hello, I thought we took all the guns away from Germany. This is something right through all of Germany. Everybody has the right. Didn't I tell you that before I've even seen this document, that everybody has the right to defend his life with a weapon? Everyone of us men deserve to have a right, especially in the world the way it is now. So here it is, the Law of Honor, 9th November 1935. Every SS man has the right and the duty to defend his honor with a weapon. An SS man is every member who was an SS leader, at least Untersturmführer, by 9th November 1935, and also every member who was by 30th January 1936 in the SS for 3 years already. In the future, an SS member will be every SS applicant who will be fully accepted into the SS by giving him an SS dagger on 9th November. After serving his service as an SS applicant, after giving an oath to the Führer, and after honorable service in his work and military service. For SS men who at the time of their admission to the SS in years 1933, 1934, and 1935 were at least 23 years old, do not have to fulfill letter B. All the other new SS men who were not 23 years old yet can only become full members after giving their military service. With validity from 9th November 1935 and the SA Honor Law is declared to be invalid for the SS, from 9th November 1935, the court and honor regulations are valid for the SS. Okay, next issue. Establishment of the association Lebensborn. Now, this is where we're going to talk about the children. Lebensborn, listen, okay? 13th September 1936. With the letter from 13th December 1934, I have already reminded all SS leaders of the fact that our struggle would be meaningless if we do not add to the political victory, listen to this, the victory of births of good blood. Race. The question of having many children is not a private business of individuals, but a duty to his ancestors and our nation. Let's listen to that again. This will make you understand why the Jews, I told you, if they were around, if they had been able to be around a decade of doing this particular thing, you know, maybe two, three decades, whatever, one generation, it would have exploded. The question of having many children is not a private business of individuals, but a duty to his ancestors and our nation. The SS has already made the first step by the marriage and engagement order from December 1931. But to make good marriages is useless when from these numerous offspring will not result. In other words, these marriages would do no good if you weren't going to have a bunch of children. Notice I didn't say kids. I expect the SS, and especially the SS leadership, to be an example in this. The minimal number of children in a good and healthy marriage is at least four children. If because of tragic conditions of destiny, it is impossible to bring one's own children to the marriage, every SS leader should adopt racially and genetically healthy children and bring them up in the spirit of National Socialism and give them appropriate education according to their abilities. Ladies and gentlemen, are you hearing this? For the choice and selection of appropriate children for the SS leadership, there is an association, Lebensborn. This association is under my personal command and is integrated into the SS Race and Settlement main office. Its main task is, listen to the task of Lebensborn. Don't fall asleep now, let's listen. To support racially valuable and biologically healthy families with numerous children. Number two. To accommodate and take care of racially and biologically healthy future mothers, for which, after detailed examination of her family and of the family of her father through the SS Race and Settlement main office, we can assume that the coming children will be just as valuable. Number three, to take care of these children. Do these sound like evil people to you? Does this sound like an evil thing to support families and make them healthy? To support your own race? To take care of those mothers that don't have a husband even? And to make sure, above all, to take care of these children of our race? To ensure that they will be educated properly, and to ensure that they will know what they, you know, they'll be able to do what their, what Yahweh had suited them to do by their gifts. Number four, listen, to take care of the mothers of these children. Does not the Bible tell us to take care of widows and orphans? Does this sound evil to you? Does this sound like the SS is an evil organization that was set up to kill Jews? Do these goals sound to you to be unjust? Or do these sound to be very honorable? Let's go on. For all SS leaders, it is a duty to become a member of the Lebensborn Association. The entry declaration, NR.I, shall be delivered by 23rd September 1936. The sum of the member fee of full-time SS leaders from Hauptsturmfuhrer and higher are listed in the attached chart. Full-time working SS Unter and Obersturmfuhrer of any age pay a minimum sum of one Reichsmark. So they're not taxing the people. They're asking them to voluntarily pay a minimum of one Reichsmark to take care of the children, to take care of the mothers, to take care of the widows and the orphans when their brothers had died. Does this sound evil? From the non-full-time SS leaders and the other SS men, I expect that, if possible, they would become members of Lebensborn with a contribution appropriate to their income and thus carry the work with us and practically realize the thought of the family community of SS on this field. The unit leaders should disseminate message in a appropriate way to their subordinated SS leaders and SS men. The unit leaders are responsible for recruiting of members for Lebensborn. The non-full-time leaders and members of SS shall fill in the entry declaration, NR2, and send it to the Lebensborn Association by 1st October 1936. You know something? I'd rather have died with these people than live today. These people make me proud. I'd rather have died as a German than be in the United States today. I would have been proud to die with these people. I will be personally interested to find out about the success of my inquiry. May every SS leader remember that in the Kampfsfeet, only the personal and material sacrifices brought us forward, and that the Führer developed, and that the further development of Germany for coming centuries and millenniums will be impossible if not all of us will be ready to do our obvious duty. See, it's teamwork. Everybody would participate. Does this not touch your heart, ladies and gentlemen? Do you not wish that America had programs like this for our race? And does it make you wonder why we don't have programs like this? I know why we don't. Because I know what a cancer we have. We're giving to everybody but our race. We've got useful idiot liberals that would want us to give to everybody but our race, that would want to build up every race but our own. And they would call these people evil. Let's continue on. Elementary law about the holiness of property. Wait till you get a load of this, okay? Wait till you get a load of this. Let me ask you a question. If you were to leave a piece of your property in a public place, what do you think the chances would be of you recovering that piece of property? Now, in the old America, the chances were very good. But how about now? Do you think that, what do you think the chances were? Like I told you, in the earlier days, people could leave their keys in their car. You could go down to the local store, leave your car running, walk in, grab your stuff, get back in your car and split. Nobody would touch it. Nobody would take anything off your front seat. Nobody would do anything. You could leave your bike out in front of the store. Nobody would touch it. Do you think you could leave your bike out in front of the store today? Well, let's see about these evil Germans. Let's see about how evil they really are here. Elementary law about the holiness of property. 9th November, 1936. Number one, to our ancestors, the property of others was holy and untouchable. For example, a bundle of hay was a clear sign not to permit the trespassing over somebody's field. Number two, during our unfortunate German history, and especially in the after-war years and inflation period, the notion of property and strict laws about fairness, non-corruption, sincerity, and holiness of entrusted property have blurred. See, anytime the Jews brought in Negroes into their society to try to corrupt their bloodlines and to try to corrupt their minds. And so, they also put them through a lot of things which would tempt them to steal as well. Theft, number three, theft, tricks, fraud, and waste of entrusted public means are still everyday reality in Germany. Now, they weren't before the Jews were aggravating their countries and put them to war and messed with their money system or anything. You see that any time the Jew gets involved in our society, the righteousness just strips away. And like they say, everything blurred. The laws sadly punish such crimes only in a limited way. See, these laws that the Jews put in, like I just told you, they just lessened the laws in California for people who rob convenience stores and stores and everything else. What has been done because of that now? Now people are going absolutely wild. These blacks are going absolutely wild robbing all kinds of stores because now the laws are only punishing these crimes in a limited way. Do you understand what Germany's telling you here? Back in this time, do you see the correlation of how it fits with our society today, with the Jew? Whenever the Jew is involved in your country, this is the kind of nonsense that goes on. The holiness goes away. The respect for other people's property go away. And laws are put in to destroy the morals of the people, the morale of the people, and the goodness of the people. Significant parts of the German nation, and also many members of the SS, take the crimes against written and non-written laws about property too easily. In my opinion, We shall return to these views of our ancestors in the SS and not only handle so that we would not break any present law, but also would not break any of those firm, not written laws of our nation. I feel it is a shame for us Germans, and especially for SS men, when in other countries, as for example Scandinavia or Japan, everyone can leave his property freely in a public place because he knows that no one from his nation would steal it. Now listen to that right there. Remember I said that Japan, you may think that they are a race-mixed people, but they always have shown themselves to be a decent people. So it says here, for example, in Scandinavia or Japan, everyone can leave his property freely in a public place because he knows that no one from his nation would steal it. Remember what I told you about law, about Yahweh's law? How that gives liberty and freedom? Imagine if you could leave your cell phone on a desk somewhere, or you could leave your laptop somewhere on a thing, and you went home and all of a sudden you said, oh, I left it there, and you went back and you just were able to pick it back up and take it home. Or if somebody returned it to you. Imagine that. So once again, Japan proves itself more Christian than the United States. So I'm going to read this again. I feel it is a shame for us Germans, and especially for SS men, when in other countries, as for example Scandinavia or Japan, everyone can leave his property freely in a public place because he knows that no one from his nation would steal it. See what I mean about liberty and freedom? When everybody in the land obeys the laws and treats everybody the way they should, it promotes freedom and liberty. But when people disobey Yahweh's laws, and they are a nation of disobedient people, freedom is restricted. Liberty is restricted. It's almost gone completely. It degenerates. Keep that in mind. That's how liberty, if you want to know how liberty and freedom is achieved, I've already told you in past Saxon's Creed shows. Obviously, Scandinavia, they believed in keeping other people's property a holy thing. They believed in the golden rule. They believed in loving Yahweh and his laws. See, they didn't steal the other people's property because they didn't want somebody to steal it from them. They didn't try to take somebody else's. You understand what I'm saying? And when you have a nation of people like that, it frees you from the bondage of crime. It frees you. It liberates you. That's what freedom and liberty is. That's how freedom and liberty are produced. It's not produced by a political party. It's not produced by a union. However, let me go on with this document. We would want to introduce this knowledge, decency and habits into our ranks of the SS and live them as an example. See, that's evil. Isn't that evil? Listen again. We would want to introduce this knowledge, decency, and habits into our ranks of the SS and live them as an example. Number 5. I therefore order that from the 1st December 1936 on, in all accommodation buildings of the SS troops, the locks on lockets would be removed. Service and secret directives which regulate the manipulation of things which we got from our enemies should still remain valid when it's appropriate, according to special orders of the SS main leadership. So basically, they're saying that they're no longer going to lock your locks on your lockers or things like that, because we have a higher set of laws in our heart here. We're not going to steal out of my brother's locker. We don't need locks, because that's how much liberty abounds. Locks are for people who don't trust. Locks are for people that do not have liberty and freedom. And it works that way as if you're in jail. Locks are for people get locked up and they lose their freedom and their liberty. Do you understand the parallel? Think about what I'm telling you. Number 6. These especially important basic questions called to attention in this law should be often a subject of education and friendly reminding. After a short time, it must be a self-evident thing for every SS member that he would not take anything from his comrade, from something so unimportant as a cigarette to precious valuables. This is evil, isn't it? I'd like to have some of this evil in my nation. If this is evil, I want evil in my nation. Also, I expect from all the SS members that they would deal with the service money and service objects with great but not too exaggerated preciseness in all the cases when there is no regulation, that they should decide in accordance with their conscience. Now, they're teaching their people to have a conscience. How about us? How about us Americans today? Do they teach us through their media, their Jewish media, that we should have a conscience? No, they go to Bohemian Grove and they do the cremation of care ritual, which means they're searing their consciences. See, that's what evil is. Not what the SS is talking about here. They're telling people that in all cases when there is no regulation, even though there's not a law, they should decide in accordance with their conscience. In other words, even that there's no law against not taking something or this or that, your own conscience should guide you to know better than that. Number 8. In the future, I will handle all offenses against the property and honor with the strictest punishments. From the spirit of our organization, I expect that very soon no punishments of such kind will be necessary, as men who go against the holiness of property will not be in the SS in the future anymore. In other words, if you're not going to obey this, you're gone. You don't deserve to be in an organization that is this spiritually fit, that is this morally fit, that is this high-minded. Now get a load of this one. Next thing we're going to deal with here: elementary law about obligatory saving. Obligatory saving. Elementary law about obligatory saving. 9th November 1937. Number 1. The chaos of past centuries has not only blurred the notion of the property in the German nation, but also has made the notion of getting in debts an honorable and everyday thing. Within the staff of the Reichsführer SS, there was created an institution, Economic Help, which has the task to help those SS men who in the past and in the Kampfsfeet, mostly without moral fault, got into deep financial problems through unemployment and the collapse of the economy, and make them able to balance out their obligations in the foreseeable future. Number 3. But for the future, I see it as unsubstantial and impossible that a person would buy more than he can pay for. I think that buying through installments for 12 months, a person should rather save money for those 12 months and then pay for the desired object in cash. Is that biblical, ladies and gentlemen? Is this biblical? Is this righteous? Of course it is. Is this good advice? Yes, it is. Is this evil? No, this is not evil. You see, this is evil to the Jew. What's evil to the Jew is when you don't go in debt to him. What's evil to the Jew is caring for your own race. What's evil for the Jew is to have a conscience. What's evil for the Jew is to take care of the family, to take care of the children, to take care of the mothers, to teach properly. These things are all evil to the Jew. However, these things are all righteous to the Father Yahweh in heaven. And if you can't see that, then you're as blind as a bat. Let's continue on. Number four, so that we could help the SS man who, despite all economic handling, has it hard materially survive, it is necessary that all SS men would help. Through our own forces, we would want to create an account from which it would be possible after 1 year already to borrow money to an SS man in need, which he would then pay back in a foreseeable time without being economically confined by it. Therefore, I order, this is number five, therefore I order that every SS man would give 1 mark from his salary to the saving account of the SS. 1 mark. You know, I mean, he's not asking a lot. He's not taxing you either. Notice it's not a Jewish tax. He said he's ordering them to give 1 mark. Big deal. From his salary to the saving account of the SS. It's for the greater good. Do you understand what I mean? The same applies for all full-time SS leaders and SS men. SS applicants who have as recruits in the action group and Totenkopf units in the first year a lower salary pay a lower contribution. Number six, from all non-full-time SS leaders and men of the general SS, I expect that they will go as an example to and pay the contributions in full and voluntarily, and therefore would help to achieve the goal. See, it's a goal of this military unit. These are righteous goals. It's to help those in need. It's not welfare. It's a help to those in need, because the Jew would put them in a bad position when they pay for these things in a 12-month thing. They would rip them off with severe usury. This is a whole different plan. This is something that the United States intended, but the Jew put in welfare instead. See, welfare is not to live on for the rest of your life. Welfare is to help you get back on your feet, and then you go and work again and contribute to those who would be in your former position. The American welfare system is a corruption of what they're talking about here. The Negroes live on welfare from cradle to grave, most of them. That's not what the program was designed for. In Germany, if you did not work, you did not eat. See, they knew that that the Jews were messing this country up so that you would end up, some of these people in the SS would end up unemployed because of the Jews, because of the Jews destroying the economy. So this was a way that they could help their brothers and not put them in a bad situation. I am totally blown away by this, and I'm totally very pleased that it's out in the open now. And this shows the true nature, not only of the SS, but the nature of the German people. No, they're not evil people at all. They are our brothers. And you know what? They are the leaders. They were examples to the rest of the world on what white men should be and what white countries should be and what white organizations should be. Number 7. The goal is that the SS would be made economically strong from its own means to such an extent that it could support and strengthen in friendly spirit the individual SS men and their families through loans and other economic help when needed. Now, if you had a Jew get involved in that and they would try to get involved in that, do you know what would happen to that particular goal? Huh? Number 8. I give the task of obligatory saving to the maintenance chief of the SS. Next one. Listen up and listen careful, please, ladies and gentlemen. Elementary law about the care of widows and orphans. The SS... This is 9th November 1937. The SS, as a sworn community of SS families, has the holy task to stick to the wives and children of dead comrades. I therefore order the commanders, i.e. leaders of storm units, units, sections, and upper sections, would undertake the care of the widows and orphans of SS comrades. Is this evil? Or is it biblical? Well, it's evil to the Jew, as I've told you. But Yahweh is evil to the Jew. And Yahweh's law, all of his laws are evil to the Jew. And Yahweh's children are evil to the Jew. This task is not sufficient to be fulfilled only through financial support. In my opinion, even more important than that is the manly protection and help in appropriate way to a family which has lost its father and now has to face the life struggle without a man. Just as holy is the duty that we would take care of the raising and educating the valuable children of these SS families, valuable children, not human resources, but valuable children, not valuable kids or goats, valuable children. Let me read it again now. Just as holy is the duty that we would take care of the raising and educating the valuable children of these SS families and feel responsibility for it, the commanders have to put this task into practice as this personal goal cannot be undertaken over by anyone else. For the maintenance part of this task, the commanders of the SS care institutions of a unit stand ready. The Reichsführer of the SS, signed Himmler. Ladies and gentlemen, I am blown away. Absolutely blown away. You realize what it must be like, what it must have been like to be in an organization like that? Do you realize that those fruits are absolutely real good fruits? You'll know them by their fruits. Are those fruits evil, ladies and gentlemen? Or are they very commendable? Are they very biblical? Are they very good rather than evil? And so, after hearing that document being read to you by myself, what should that tell you? It should tell you that you've been lied to. It should tell you that the Jews, it should prove to you that the Jews are liars, number one. It should prove to you that obviously the Germans were not what the Jews said they were. It should also prove to you that they were better than we are, not only then, but now. It should also prove to you that they cared about their children and their family. And their families, they put a value on their families. They put a value on their race. They understood who they were. They understood who the Jews were. They finally had found out after World War I who did this to them. And once they found out, they took appropriate action. And because they had such good fruits, like teaching mothers how to be good mothers, teaching mothers how to be good wives, teaching husbands how to be good husbands, teaching families how to love one another and how to help one another and how to have good fruits. This could not be tolerated by the Jews. They cannot stand that. There has never been anything like the Third Reich. There's never been anything that great. And I don't even speak of Hitler necessarily, okay? Yes, Hitler had, you know, I really respect the man. And now that I know what his speeches say, I respect him doubly and triply. Because this man had an understanding of our enemy. He not only had an understanding of our enemy, but he had an understanding of who we are as a people and why we are who we are as a people. As I've told you, the Jews are internationalists. Because why? This also proves that they're not God's chosen people. It's a proof right in itself. That they are internationalists should teach you that the Jews have never had a country of their own and they never will have a country of their own. So therefore, they've had to be nationalists. This is where all this global nonsense comes from. But we as white men, as the Aryan men that we are, we've had nations. We are the ones who built the nations. We are the ones who are the nations, the important nations of the world. Which proves we are Israel in itself. You see, because they are internationalists, that proves that they are not the tribes of Israel. But because we are the nations, the greatest nations in the world, that proves that we are Israel. The true Israel of the Bible. Those things in themselves prove this out. So, Hitler had told us in a speech that the Jews, because they're internationalists, They don't understand nationalists. They don't understand the Aryan mind. They do not understand us as the tribes of Israel. It's foreign to them. Love is foreign to them. Loving your nation is foreign to them. Loving your family is foreign to them. Goodness is foreign to them. Holiness is foreign to them. Righteousness is foreign to them. Does it not make sense? How can we not see that? Hitler could see it. And because he was awake, see, this happens oftentimes. Because he was awake, because he got them out of his country, he showed the whole world what happens when you throw this parasite out of your country. Within 4 short years, he turned the nation around. Now, I want to mention something about America. Calvin Coolidge is a president you don't hear about very often. And I'll tell you why. Calvin Coolidge was in the process of turning this nation around. Within 2 years, he had started to heal the nation. They made sure that they never got him back in the presidency for a second term. And not only that, you probably don't even know who Calvin Coolidge is. So think on these things. So the Germans did everything right, as far as I'm concerned. They could have done some other things, but they were disrupted. You know, it's hard to take on the whole world with one country. One country taking on the whole world in reality. Italy was useless. Japan did some good work. But Germany was against the world by itself. Against the Jews running all those countries by itself. Now, America did not want to go in the war, and you see that they used the Jews. The Jews made sure that they got us into the war, because they knew without the U.S. in the war, Germany would snuff them out. I told you that after the war, they planned on going over into England and closing all the Freemasonic lodges and rounding up the Freemasons. I'm not going to explain that all to you again, but there's another thing that Hitler understood. I was amazed when I found out he understood that. I did not know that that was one of the first things he did when he was getting rid of the Jews. He made sure he got rid of the Freemasons. A lot of them ended up in the camps. Probably having to work for the first times in their lives. Same as any of the Jews that ended up in the camps. They were the first ones to work in their lives. First time they ever had to work, probably, most of them. Yeah. So you see, World War II and World War I are extremely important to understand. One must forget about all the teachings they have been taught. See, the evil axis is America, Russia, and the UK. Not Germany, Italy, and Japan. What did he just say about Japan as a people? You can leave your property in a public place and nobody will touch it. What does that say about a people? Does that sound like an evil people to you? Did you see them when they were going through Fukushima? Did you see them smashing windows out and taking colored TVs, and their police officers smashing windows out and stealing clothes out of the stores or anything like that? No. They were an orderly people that cared for each other and took care of each other during this horrible time. You'll know these people by their fruits. How about the blacks during Katrina? Were they orderly? Did they take care of each other? No, they don't care about each other any more than they care about us. Even the police officers, the black officers that are affirmative action police officers, anyway, they don't belong. They don't even have the real deal to be a police officer. They were taking TVs and they were shown on camera stealing themselves. You'll know them by their fruits, too. They have the same fruits as the Jews. And as the Muslims, I guess, as well. So think on that for a little while. What an organization the SS was. Wouldn't you like to be in? How about you, Shabez Goy military race traitor? One who gets his shekels from the Jew. You get debt notes to get maimed and killed. And when you get back here, they take your gun rights away. And they're not going to give you good... they've injected you with things that your mind doesn't work anymore. And some of you have no more limbs on you or limbs missing. And you're not being taken care of monetarily like the Jew promised you would be. How would you like to be in the SS? I hear these people. I heard this fellow come on one of these before it knew its news things, and he says Hitler would love this, and the SS would love this, and he's saying that all these people are so evil. He's brainwashed, of course, but then he's telling you all these things that are good for you and that will help you with cancer. But he's saying Hitler would love this. He's calling America the new Nazis. I only wish America were the Nazis. I wish America had the SS in it. Because there would be no black president, and there would be no blacks in this country anymore. I've personally had enough of the blacks. I never wanted them here in the first place. I don't hate them, but they're doing nothing for me or my nation. They're doing nothing but sucking up resources that could go to my people. And there's a lot of my people that need those resources. And they don't appreciate any of it anyway. So you'd be better off just burning the money that you're giving to them because it's a waste. They're never going to better themselves. They're never going to like us. They're never going to be appreciative of what's been given to them. I know them by their fruits. As a whole. Don't blame me that's the way it is. Blame them. It has nothing to do with the white race, what's going on with the black race. Has nothing to do with white racism. Has nothing to do with it. You can't force people to live together that do not want to live together. The blacks do not want to live with us. We do not want to live with the blacks. Plain and simple. The Mexicans don't want to live with the blacks. The Mexicans don't want to live with us. The Chinese don't want to live with the blacks. Chinese don't mind living with us. Multiculturalism is an abject failure. It has failed as Yahweh had already told us it would fail, because there's nothing that would make it successful. There is nothing good that has come out of it. For a country who spent more on education than all the other countries in the world combined, we are some of the stupidest people on the planet. Only people like myself who gives themselves an education have any hope at all. If you're not educating yourself, dear listener, no wonder you don't understand anything. No wonder that you would say stupid things like the Nazis are evil or the SS is an evil organization that wanted to take all the guns away from everybody. There was more gun control in Germany than there is in America. That's a lie. It's all lies. The German soldiers were throwing babies up in the air and catching them on their bayonets. I hate to tell you, that was the Jews who were doing that in the Bolshevik Revolution. Nothing to do with Germany. These are lies. I will never understand why our race so readily believes these Jews, but when one of our own race tells them the truth, they fight it with tooth and nail. I'd like to know where that programming came from, where you would believe a Jew over your own brother. I'd like to know how that was worked into our people. A Jew tells them they're God's chosen people? They don't question it at all. There's no question. There's no fight. A white tells them that we are the true Israel of the Bible? Oh, boy. It's time for fighting. What is that? What is that inside of you that allows you to believe the Jewish media but not believe your own brothers and sisters? What is inside of you? Have you ever asked yourself that question before? Maybe you should ask it a little more often. Why did I believe the Jews? Who told me that I could trust the Jewish media? Who says that the Jewish media is telling me the truth? You don't challenge the Jewish media about what they're telling you on TV, do you? But if I tell you something is wrong with that, and that's not the way it is because I've studied into it, you'd fight me with tooth and nail. You don't believe me. But the Jew, you believe implicitly. No question. Without question. Without a doubt. Why is that? Is that television that powerful to you? That you believe the television could not lie to you? That you believe the Jewish-influenced history book could not lie to you? I've got news for you. You've been lied to your whole life. And the sooner you begin to start questioning the liars instead of people that are trying to tell you the truth, the sooner you're going to get to the bottom of the truth and find out what's really going on. You know, one of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Let me put it in English. The New English, perhaps. Let's see if I can do that. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. How many times, and I've been guilty of it too, but once you see this proverb, you realize that you need to listen, or you need to seek out a matter before you give your answer to the matter. You see, if you don't know anything about it, how can you answer anything about it before you hear the matter or before you study the matter? How can you tell me about World War II Germany? How could you tell me about the SS until you studied into it? How could you tell me about Hitler unless you read his speeches or heard his speeches in English? He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Get that deep down into your soul. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I've got people out there defending our military from World War II, and they've never even looked into the matter to find out if it's true or not, to find out who these Germans were. And so it's very, very important. Very, very, very important to look into things, to seek the truth, to know before you answer to a matter. These things are extremely important. This time in history is crucial to your understanding, crucial for you to understand why we are in the position we are in today. This didn't just happen by happenstance. This happened because it's been carefully guided to happen the way it is. We didn't just end up with the same problems Germany had back in World War I and World War II. We're in the same position today. How did we get there? Do you ever wonder how we got there? How did Germany get in that position? How did it get to the point where you had to take a carriage full of money to the grocery store to pick up a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk? We're headed in the same direction. How are we heading that way? Who is guiding us to that same point that happened in Germany? Who's doing this? Do you ever question these things? Or do you just believe the television? I think that's the problem. You believe the television. You know how many people I've heard say, I got rid of my television and then I woke up? You don't need that television. You can turn that television, as I've said many, many times, into an education station. You need to educate yourself. You need to seek the truth so that you can be set free. You need to work at it. You need to get away from that television because there's no good thing. It's not showing any good fruits, is it? Once you separate yourself from that beast, you will begin to come alive again. You will begin to have an understanding. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this to you until you finally make the move. Cut the cord. Save yourself the money. Why would you support something that's showing you homosexuality? Why would you support lying news stations like Fox News or any of them? Why would you want to support that? Take that money and put it back into your pocket. Why would you want to support sports with black people who hate your guts, that want to kill you and are killing your race on a daily basis across the world? Why would you want to do that? Why wouldn't you just walk away from those sports and let them dry up and die? How important are these sports to you? Are they more important than your life is? Are they more important than your education? Are they more important than Yahweh? Are they more important than your children? Are they more important than your wife? Are they more important than your country? Don't go anymore. Don't watch it anymore. Let it die. What I'm giving you is good advice. You will not miss that television. I'm telling you right now, you will not miss that television. And so I don't know what else to really say to you, but encourage you to cut that television off and turn that television into an education station. You can plug that television into your computer. You can watch YouTube videos. You can go get your news on the internet, etc., etc. You can educate yourself with tutorials. You can do all kinds of things. You can spend your time wisely, because the time that you're spending foolishly now is time that is lost forever. You can never gain that time back. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.